Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and my colleague, Brian Myers, is in the studio next to me. And what a wonderful week. Today's kind of... Yeah, been interesting.
You've had an interesting week. A day today.
Right.
Well, it's already been a full day.
Right. And just for our listeners who know that we record ahead of time. This is Friday. Today is my anniversary. My wife Cheryl and I are celebrating 22 years of wedded bliss. And I mean that. I mean, yeah, every couple has their ups and downs, but it's just, it's gone fast. And
wedded bliss.
And, you know, have two, you know, and also last...
He's a wise man.
Last Saturday, we just had a graduation party for my son. He graduated early, so now I've got high school graduates. So I can now empathize with Brian. I'm feeling old.
Thanks a lot, pal.
But how today, you know, in celebration of my anniversary, my car decided to give me a grand gift and give me the experience of breaking down on the side of the I-80/35.
So yeah, that was wonderful. And who came and helped you out? Who was your old pal that came over there,
Brian,
and rescued you?
Brian was my knight in shining armor. He came and he picked me up.
On my white horse.
On your, well, your, yeah, Subaru Forester, and brought me to the studio so I could talk to you fine folks. So anyway.
It's his anniversary, but he's had a rough morning. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, fortunately, got the car off the interstate and didn't have to stay for it to be towed.
Yeah, so but this whole business of you feeling old, you're getting no sympathy from me, pal.
No, well, I'm just saying I can empathize with you.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Oh, anyway, we have a very special guest on the line. We have...
Who's going to save us from all this mindless nonsense
right,
that we've been engaging
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. Tyson Langhofer, and he's going to correct me if I butchered his last name. Is that right, Tyson?
That's correct.
Okay.
You got it correct. Good
wow.
job.
Thank you.
You've been brushing up on your German.
Yeah. He's a senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom. We brought him on because we want to talk about the STEM Express v. Center for Medical Progress case, and Alliance Defending Freedom has had some, you know, involvement with that case, and there's been something that came up the other day. And anyway, thank you for coming on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Tyson. Welcome.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Could just tell us first of all what you know, why just so you so our listeners have some background. Why did STEM Express sue Center for Medical Progress?
Sure, absolutely. So STEM Express is a company that purchases human tissue, including baby parts, to resell to research institutions. And STEM Express is a for-profit company. They do this for-profit, and they do it with a lot of different types of tissue, and including the fetal baby parts. And so STEM Express sued the Center for Medical Progress, along with Biomax Procurement Services and David DeLeiden, in relation to a meeting that the Center for Medical Progress had with STEM Express executives on May 22nd, 2015, in a restaurant. And this was part of the Center for Medical Progress's undercover investigative journalist project, in which they were investigating Planned Parenthood's practice of selling baby body parts.
Wait, you mean Planned Parenthood doesn't, they just don't donate out of the goodness of their hearts?
You know, contrary to what they tell the patients that come in there, they do not. The practice that was exposed by Center for Medical Progress is that Planned Parenthood contracts with companies such as STEM Express, and STEM Express purchases the baby body parts from the aborted fetuses and resells those to research institutions. And so what STEM Express is trying to do is trying to stop the dissemination of the videos by Center for Medical Progress.
Right.
There was a meeting that, at that meeting, Center for Medical Progress had a long conversation with STEM Express relating to their practice of purchasing these baby body parts.
Yeah. Now, a judge actually blocked one of the videos from being released, correct?
That's correct. In the STEM Express, the initial ruling, what typically happens in these when you're trying to stop something is as a plaintiff, you go in ex parte or without the other party knowing, essentially. And they filed a complaint and they obtained an order, initial order. It's called a temporary restraining order that the judge said they cannot show the video. And it's only of the May 22nd meeting between STEM Express executives and the Center for Medical Progress. However, the judge denied their additional request to stop the release of documents that Center for Medical Progress had obtained. There was a bunch of other documents that they were trying to stop, and the judge denied that. So,
Tyson, forgive me. At the time, though, I remember it being I think everybody's understanding that any further video releases were being blocked by the federal judge. Apparently that's not true.
Okay, so it's a little bit confusing because you've got Planned Parenthood is obviously very well funded, and they're attacking this from multiple different levels, and they're doing it through affiliates instead of them directly. And so you've got two cases that are currently pending. The STEM Express case, which is in Los Angeles in California State Court. There is also a second lawsuit pending in San Francisco in federal court, and that's filed by the National Abortion Federation.
Okay.
The National Abortion Federation obtained a court order stopping the release of videos that were filmed at National Abortion Federation annual meetings in 2014 and 2015. So that is not the court, neither court order applies to all videos.
Right.
It only applies to videos that were filmed at the STEM Express meeting in May 22nd and the annual meeting of the National Abortion Federation in 2014-2015. That's why you'll see, and you saw there's been releases of videos
right.
this week, of meetings with Planned Parenthood executives. So this was it's a long investigative journalistic project, and it has a lot of video footage, and so the court orders only apply to a portion of those at this time.
Right, and what legal basis, you know, how are these judges using to apply a restraining order on the release of these videos?
Sure. There's two different bases. Well, I'll talk first about the Los Angeles case.
Sure.
The Los Angeles case was based upon a criminal statute in California, which says basically that you cannot record a communication without the other party's consent if that communication was a confidential communication. And the confidential communication is defined as one in which a party would reasonably believe that they had that it was going to be kept private. And in that case, we do not believe that there's any basis for
right.
a holding on a confidential communication because this was held in a restaurant.
Right.
And the video, we believe, when it all comes out, and this we think it was confirmed by the judge yesterday, that this would not be a confidential communication. And so that's the only basis for the STEM Express order was it a confidential communication.
Right.
In San Francisco, it's a little bit more complicated because in order to gain access to the annual meetings in 2014-2015, there were documents that David and the others signed, essentially, which prohibited the release of any or the recording of any videos at the conference themselves and then the subsequent release of those. And so the basis in San Francisco is a contractual basis that you cannot release these because it would be a violation of the contract. But in both cases, we believe the First Amendment is very strong and one of the most highly protected abilities under the First Amendment is the ability to actually provide the important information to the public, and prior restraints are highly disfavored. A prior restraint is an order saying you cannot release this information. And so that's what the judge cited yesterday was the First Amendment's protection against prior restraints, which is where the government comes in and says you cannot publish this information that you have.
Right. Now, question regarding the federal ruling, since that was in a specific district, is there any loophole around it? I guess that's what.
Sure. No, there would be no loophole around that. I mean, an order, again, the order in San Francisco is very specific that you cannot release any video that you obtained of the meeting at these annual conferences, and you cannot release any additional information that you obtained through those conferences.
Okay.
And so that would prohibit the release anywhere.
Okay. Okay.
But just to clarify, the subsequent video releases that we've seen, those have been legal releases, if I can use that phrase.
Correct. They were not violations of the order because the order was very specific as to what could not be released, and they related to three very specific events.
Great. So now there was another a judge issued another ruling the other day about basically STEM Express wanted to, I guess, go on a fishing expedition.
Yes. I mean, the primary goal you can see here and Planned Parenthood's goal is to figure out what have our affiliates and our business partners been saying about this practice. They're trying to get out in front of this. And so they're wanting to obtain as much information as possible to do damage control because they absolutely do not want the American people to know that, you know, this billion-dollar corporation was caught on camera negotiating the sale of baby body parts. And they're absolutely petrified that they're going to be defunded because of this, because, you know, what we're hearing the American people say is that our tax dollars should not be forced to fund a $1 billion corporation that was caught on camera negotiating
right.
the sale of baby body parts.
Well, I assume there may even be some criminal investigation in some states too. And I guess that leads me to another question. Would any of this video be admissible in a criminal proceeding?
Well, rules of evidence are pretty complicated, and it's difficult to say in every situation. And,
sure.
and I don't know all of the circumstances surrounding how each one of these videos were obtained. And so I think each video would have to be looked at from different perspectives. But you're exactly correct that there's 12 states now that right. are attorney generals that have started investigations. And I don't know of any reason at this point, and based upon my knowledge, that would prohibit these videos from being used. These types of videos have been used in numerous cases before in investigative journalists through undercover police surveillance. So these types of videos are very widely used in criminal cases, and mm-hmm. I don't know of any reason why they would not be used.
And Tyler, if it can be shown that they are indeed selling body parts here, that's a clear violation of federal law, and would it not be incumbent upon the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute this?
It would definitely be incumbent upon them to investigate these practices. There's two federal statutes which apply in this case. One statute says that you cannot sell any fetal tissue or baby body parts for valuable consideration. That's a straight prohibition. And the second one is that you cannot modify the abortion procedure itself in order to facilitate the better obtaining better fetal tissue to be used for research. And if you've watched the videos are very clear. I
right.
believe they show great evidence.
Exactly.
Which would allow any prosecutor to look at this and say, we need to take further investigative efforts, because you have Planned Parenthood executives saying, well, we can probably do this to so that we can obtain better parts.
Right.
And they also very clearly, you know, indicate that they were looking to maximize the amount of money that they were going to receive from the sale of these baby body parts. That's the bottom line. There was no discussions about here's what our costs are.
Right.
The discussions were how much could we obtain from this and what are other clinics obtaining from this.
So really, on both federal statutes, these videos are pretty telling.
We believe that they show, at the very minimum, they give prosecutors a duty to now go and do further investigation. Mm-hmm. And we believe that again, if once these videos are out and the evidence is reviewed and these investigations are done, we think that it's going to show a concerted practice upon Planned Parenthood of profiting from the sale of baby body parts. And the bottom line is these federal laws are in place so that there would be no incentive to commoditize mm-hmm. human body parts for the sale and for profit.
Right.
And that's exactly what they're doing, is they're incentivizing their practices, their affiliates, to sell human body parts for a profit to further their bottom line.
Yeah, I've talked with somebody who thought, well, what difference does it make if they do this compared to if they just dump the fetuses in the trash, and it's like big difference because that incentivizes people to possibly even have abortions. Anyway, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. You were listening to Tyson Langhofer with Alliance Defending Freedom. Thank you, Tyson, for
coming
on.
Tyson.
We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029. He can help you find the life insurance
you need.
And this is Shane Vanderhart. We've got Brian Myers. And we wanted to talk about just a few issues that we wanted to spend a little more time on. So we're covering that in our second segment today. And this week has not been a very good week for Dr. Ben Carson, who's a Republican candidate for president. He's been killing it with fundraising. He's one of the top fundraisers among the GOP field. He's got some good grassroots organization.
No, and he came out of the debate with a bump.
I thought the debate went well. I know some people didn't necessarily care for his style because
he's pretty soft spoken.
He's pretty soft spoken, but if you listen to what he actually said, it was pretty good. But however, when you listen to a couple interviews he recently had this week, you think, what in the world? The first story came out was with the Washington Post. The Washington Post reported basically this week on Wednesday, a blog published excerpts of a paper that Dr. Carson co-wrote. He didn't write it by himself. It was a study that he was part of, that described research that he carried out using aborted fetuses or fetal tissue. That, by the way, was past 17 weeks of age. He defended the practice in an interview with the Washington Post on Thursday. He said to the Washington Post, "You have to look at the intent.
to willfully ignore evidence that you have for some ideological reason is wrong. If you're killing babies and taking the tissue, that's a very different thing than taking a dead specimen and keeping record of it. I agree that's true. It is not, it's not morally equivalent.
But I'd like to know what he meant by that.
Right.
A dead specimen and keeping record of it.
Right.
What? Where did this dead specimen come from? And keeping record, what does that mean? I was unclear of what he was trying to say there.
We want to flash back to something he said on Fox News that was reported by Breitbart News. So I have a transcript here. He said, Carson said in response, he was talking about the Planned Parenthood issue, because we just got done talking to
Tyler.
Tyson. Thank you, Ron. Tyson. Yeah.
Tyler.
See, I told you I'm getting older. So, Mr. Long, gosh, and I'm going to try to say his last name.
Give it up.
Yeah.
Tyson,
anyway,
we're sorry.
Sorry about that. But we just got done talking about the Planned Parenthood videos, and this is what Carson said in response. He says that Planned Parenthood uses fetal organs for medical research. To the argument that Planned Parenthood uses fetal organs for medical research, he says it's been overpromised what benefits of fetal research would be and very much underdelivered. And if you go back over the years and look at the research that's been done, all the things that have been supposed to deliver, very little of that has been done. And there's nothing that can't be done without fetal tissue. So it's a spurious argument. But, you know, what's really disturbing is the fact that we have become so callous that a lot of people don't realize that this is shocking. So,
to translate that?
Well, basically saying it's not feasible research. Well, then he goes on and he says, the thing that's really controversial about the video is that it's sort of like taking a cold fish and slapping you in the face when you're falling asleep. That's a nice word picture. And you begin to recognize how far we've drifted in terms of our humanity. And, you know, a little developing baby is just an incredible sight to behold. You know, now that we have good ultrasound techniques, even the ability to endoscopically look at the little human beings as they're developing, and this is in reaction to pictures of a 17-week-old child. At 17 weeks, you know, you've got a nice little nose and 17 little fingers and hands. Hopefully nobody has 17 fingers. And the heart's beating, and it can respond to environmental stimulus. I mean, how can you believe that's just an irrelevant mass of cells? That's because that's what they want you to believe, when in fact it's a human being. And it just needs to be noted that the doctor that published excerpts of these research said this tissue was from preborn babies older than 17 weeks. So, and here's what, going back to the Post interview, this is what Carson says. When we obtain tissue like that, we want to know what the origin of that tissue is developmentally, explaining his research here. Knowing that helps us determine which patients are likely to develop a problem. It's one of the reasons why at the turn of the last century, the average age of death was 47. Now the average age of death is 80, using the information that you have as a smart thing, not a dumb thing. And he said that he didn't agree with that fetal tissue research should be outlawed. Now, obviously, there's different ways to get fetal tissue. It could be from a miscarriage,
right?
Which, if a parent donated that, you know, that there's nothing wrong with that as far as I could see. Some may disagree with me, but I don't see that as any different as saying, you know, my child could be an organ donor should they tragically pass
away.
But
it does, it raises the question, right, of what he said earlier about, you know, a specimen and keeping track of it or keeping record of it. He wasn't clear on what he was actually speaking to there.
Right.
Perhaps he was speaking to what you just raised, which is the donation of a miscarried baby.
Right.
I don't know.
But anyway, here's what he said on, he responded to this on Facebook, and we want to make sure, I'll try to read most of this here. He said, I wanted to use our time tonight to directly deal with an attack launched on me by the left and the media. A couple questions came in on the subject, so I want to address it head on. Today I was accused by the press as having done research on fetal tissue. This simply is not true. The study that distributed by an anonymous source was done in 1992. The study was about tumors. I won't bore you with the science. There was four doctors' names in the study. One was mine. I spent my life studying brain tumors and removing them. My only involvement in this study was supplying tumors that I had removed from my patients, whose those tissue samples were compared to other tissue samples under a microscope Pathologists do this work to gain clues about tumors. I nor any of the doctors involved with the study had anything to do with abortion or what Planned Parenthood had been doing. Research hospitals around the country have microscope slides of all kinds of tissue to compare and contrast. The fetal tissue that was viewed in this study by others was not collected for the study. Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that he, you know, ordered the fetal tissue. Nobody's saying that he purchased it. We don't know exactly how old it was, when it is, as far as how long the research hospital, John Hopkins, had it. However, you know, University of Wisconsin was just found to have been, you know, a purchaser of fetal tissue. So,
well, look, for me, there's three paragraphs here or so in the statement that he posted on Facebook. And here is the line that carries the most important thought in it. He says, "My only involvement in this study was supplying tumors that I had removed from my patients." That jumps off the page here.
Right.
And that's great, but it doesn't square very well with what's been said in the Washington Post.
Right.
I'll give
him benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was like taken aback. Maybe he was trying to search his brain. What in the world? You know, that's a long time ago. I mean, he's written a lot.
Right.
So, you know, could be searching back, but there was originally a defense of fetal tissue research, and again, jiving that with what he said on after Planned Parenthood videos came out to Fox News, there's discrepancy there.
Yeah.
And I don't think that should be ignored, folks.
Well, particularly, I mean, Dr. Carson is probably more so than anybody else in the Republican field should have been prepared to articulate his position in detail.
Right.
With respect to all of these ethical issues connected with life and abortion and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he should be schooling all of us on bio, you know, bioethics.
He should be the last guy that we're having to get down in the weeds with to figure out what's going on here. But he's going to have to address some of this stuff. As you said off the air, even if it's just to come out and say, "Hey, over the years, my position has changed on this."
Yeah, it's 23 years ago. Yeah. I mean, I could accept a change of heart over 23 years.
Right, but at the end of the day, he's going to have to give a better explanation than simply what he's got here on Facebook.
Exactly.
Because this one line here is a very strong line, but it just doesn't add up with all the stuff we're hearing in that Post article.
Right.
So anyway, he just needs to address this.
So that was the first bomb that dropped this week. The second bomb, in my opinion, is worse. And we're going to give you a little context. He's responding to, and we might actually have to carry over in the third segment. We're getting running shorter on time, but I want to get these clips in. He's responding. Cavuto asked him a question about something that Rubio said about abortion during the debate, the last debate we had.
It's Neil Cavuto.
Well, we're going to play the Rubio clip for context. You want to play the clip, Ron? Clip one?
Incest exception to abortion bans. Cardinal Timothy Dolan of New York just said yesterday those exceptions are preposterous. He said they discriminate against an entire class of human beings. If you believe that life begins at conception, as you say you do, how do you justify ending a life just because it begins violently through no fault of the baby?
Well, Megan, first of all, I'm not sure that that's a correct assessment of my record. I would go on to add that I believe all
you
human
don't favor a rape and an incest exception.
I have never said that, and I have never advocated that. What I have advocated is that we pass a law in this country that says all human life at every stage of its development is worthy of protection. In fact, I think that law already exists. It's called the Constitution of the United States. And let me go further. I believe that every single human being is entitled to the protection of our laws, whether they can vote or not, whether they can speak or not, whether they can hire a lawyer or not, whether they have a birth certificate or not. And I think future generations will look back at this history of our country and call us barbarians for murdering millions of babies who we never gave them a chance to live.
And that was a pretty powerful statement. I think one of the most powerful pro-life statements made during both debates.
I agree. That was fantastic.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's the context, and here's the Cavuto interview with Dr. Carson. That's clip two, Ron.
You know, doctor, I was thinking, and as a doctor, what you thought of Marco Rubio's line at the debate, that even in cases of rape and incest, he would be against aborting that child.
Well, in cases of rape and incest, I would hope that they would very quickly avail themselves of emergency room. And in the emergency room, they have the ability to administer, RU486, other possibilities. You have a developing fetus. Now, I have to agree that, you know...
But that is, if it is at the point of conception, do you see that as life, doctor?
Certainly once the heart starts beating. Certainly at that point. I mean, this is something that we need to come to accommodation. And, you know, if we are willing to open up the discussion, both sides, I think we can come to accommodation. We'll never come to accommodation as long as we get off in our respective corners and say, absolutely not. And
well, that came up with the whole.
Well, now.
So basically, okay, and I just want to make a statement here. Here's where this is really troubling. Well, it'd be troubling regardless. I just want to read a statement from his own website, and we just have very little time left here. He says, "I am unabashedly and entirely pro-life. Human life begins at conception,
not at heartbeat.
Begins at conception, and innocent life must be protected. Period."
Yeah, his website is spot on. What he's just told Neil Cavuto is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, it just regardless of how this baby was conceived, it's not like, oh, well, okay, the life was conceived in rape or incest, therefore life doesn't begin until the heartbeat. No, that's not how that works. So no. Either you believe that life begins at conception or you don't. If you don't believe that, then you, Dr. Carson, just lied on your website.
Yeah,
and you've been lying in speeches where I've personally heard you say that life begins at conception.
This is really bad. He really stepped in it here. And it you know, taking all of this together, I'm really concerned, and I don't mean to be piling on this guy, but I'm really concerned.
No, he's a nice man. I like him.
I'm very, very concerned that he really does not understand the issue of life in the same terms that we do.
Which is unfathomable, considering he's a doctor. Anyway,
and he's supposed to be a Christian.
Right. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. This is Shane Van Herth, Brian Myers, and we want to just continue on with the news up rundown. So first story, Brian.
Well, right out of the gate in our news rundown, we're going to talk about Hillary.
We love talking about Hillary.
Yeah, we do, and what we might call Servergate. But the FBI took possession
of Hillary Clinton's former email server Wednesday afternoon.
I'm sure nothing was wiped from this.
Well, that's what's amazing about this. But now I understand. It says here, even though the server has been wiped of data by a professional IT firm, FBI officials are confident the technology specialists will still be able to recover the information from it. What do you think about that, Ron?
Okay. For Ron says it's possible if you can hear him. For one thing, okay, good, but also that's scary. That
isn't it though?
You can have an IT professional wipe your server or your computer, and they can still pull stuff off.
That's why you bury that baby out in the landfill.
No doubt, burn it. Yeah, gosh. I'm surprised they, that happened with the IRS. Oh, those computers got destroyed. Anyway, moving on. So she's obviously not taking any type of a hit from this, right?
No. She's taking a huge hit. But yeah. And then see, in addition to that, a federal judge ordered the State Department on Thursday to work with the FBI to get access to the 32,000 emails that Hillary said were personal and that she didn't return to the government. So, I mean, if this is a Republican candidate, her candidacy would have been dead and buried months ago. I mean, this is big enough now that her candidacy should be on life support. And she has taken a hit, but it shows amazingly how
she
little...
She has a Teflon-like quality to her, her husband Bill does.
Yeah, with respect to the left and with respect to the media... That may be true, but anyway.
With independents, who knows?
She is taking a hit. And tell us about New Hampshire, where she took a big hit.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders is in the lead, but my think is, meh. It's like you just have one self-proclaimed socialist running against one who just isn't honest enough to admit it. So
still, though, it's pretty amazing. Sanders leads Clinton 44-37%. Among likely Democratic primary voters, the first time the heavily favored Clinton has trailed in the 2016 primary.
Which
campaign.
That says quite a lot about, Democrat voters in New Hampshire.
Well, it does.
They have that Vermont influence, I think.
It does say a lot about the voters, but it also says that this email thing really has had an effect even amongst the left.
Yeah.
They view her as untrustworthy. Now, I'm kind of going Shazam, but
yeah,
but it's Bernie
Sanders. I guess Bernie Sanders is trustworthy. At least, yeah, he's a socialist. He admits it.
Yeah.
He's not trying to hide it.
Meanwhile, here in Iowa, Hillary is still strong, according to CNN ORC poll.
Tom Harkin just endorsed her.
Well, yeah.
So
sure.
Because that he was like, let's get this coronation done. Just like with Braley, when he, right out the gate, I'm going to endorse Braley and discourage anybody else from running.
Well, anyway, she's at 50%, and Sanders is at 31. And
wasn't it higher, though, than 50% before? So maybe that's even a decline.
Well, either way, it's still remarkably strong.
Yeah, it is.
Given everything that's going on. And Uncle Joe, who has not yet announced a decision.
Oh, he's going to just suck the air right out of it.
He clocks in at 12%.
That's because he's not running yet. Once he's running, I'm sure they'll just, jump on the bandwagon.
Meanwhile, speaking of inexplicable things, we have the Donald staying strong. I admit, a month ago I said this guy was gone.
I said I quit. I quit speculating what he says is going to impact. Here's the thing. He has seen a little bit of a drop.
He has.
Walker also has seen a little bit of a drop in the polls because, frankly, I think he gave an abysmal his debate performance was not. That he said anything bad or wrong. It was just
but
boring.
Still, given everything that this guy has said, he's retaining the lead in Iowa.
Yes,
it's just for me personally, I'm sitting here scratching my head.
Me too, and I scratch my head with Trump supporters. I mean, I get the outrage, but
Ben Carson's in second place. Walker's now in third, according to CNN.
Yeah. I'd like to see some additional polling. I'm not sure I could still trust that poll.
It could be.
Yeah, it's just such an outlier from everything else I've seen. So we'll have to see. I mean, maybe it's right. I'm not saying it's not. But I'm just saying I'd like to see some other polling confirm that.
And speaking of Bernie Sanders, he was in Seattle this week, earlier this week, and he was actually shut down at a public event by the Black Lives Matter organization. I don't know if you've seen videos of this or not, Shane. These two gals went up to the podium and basically told him, you're going to let us speak or we're going to shut you down. And they were initially, as best I could tell, her campaign people were saying, we'll let you speak. As soon as the senator's done, we'll give you the stage. Oh, no, that wasn't going to happen. They wanted to speak first. And when they were told that they weren't going to get it until after the senator spoke, they continued their threats, and they were up there just in the face of those people. And, of course, a lot of my friends were saying, so where was security? Why didn't they just escort these two nitwits out of there? But it didn't happen, and eventually the senator just gave up, and he never did speak. So, anyway.
And you know what? I'm not obviously a fan of Bernie Sanders, but that's a disrespectful way to treat anyone.
No candidate deserves that kind of treatment. Right. So, and speaking of Uncle Joe, now we'll talk about.
I hope he does run. I really hope he runs.
Well, now we're going to talk about our uncle down in Cuba, Uncle Fidel.
Fidel, yeah.
He says the United States owes Cuba money.
Fascinating.
He marked his 89th birthday Thursday by insisting the United States owes Cuba, quote, many millions of dollars, unquote, because of the half-century-old American trade embargo.
Hmm. Good luck with that.
Well, actually...
Well, you know what, though? I think Obama would probably do it. Which is sad.
It is sad, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility to see us somehow, if we keep going down this path.
I mean,
can you imagine? We'll cut these guys a check. That wouldn't surprise me a bit at some
point.
Like
2017 can't come fast enough. That's just, crazy. Oh, and then surprise.
Surprise. Everybody has to pay a new Obamacare tax.
Actually, not a surprise, because this is something those of us who've written and spoken out against Obamacare warn people. It's coming. They just kicked the can down the road to avoid re-election.
Right. What they did was an awful lot of the pain part of the legislation when the bill was passed. They postponed it X number of years so that a number of the more painful, shall we say, aspects of the legislation kicked in over time. And I think in 2016, it's effective 2015, all Americans who bought health insurance policies this year, not just those enrolled in Obamacare, face a 41% increase in excise taxes because of hidden fees contained in an obscure section of the Affordable Care Act. I'm sitting here thinking, what section was not obscure when you look at that? Remember that big stack of paper that Paul Ryan had on that table when they were having that debate? What was it? 22,000 pages or something?
It's huge. It's
oops. Anyway, everyone who pays for health care insurance this year will be affected by the tax. The little-known tax was imposed on all consumers, regardless of whether they obtained their insurance through Obamacare or through their employer or as individuals.
And on that positive note, we'll take a break. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
We love Obamacare.
You're pretty sure you know why he treated you that way, or do you? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Assuming the motives and interests of others is a great way to fan the flames in a conflict. Such bias tends to impact our words, attitudes, and actions. But what if you spent more time and energy really trying to understand the potential interests this person has? Try giving him the benefit of the doubt and look for wholesome or at least neutral motives. Seeking to understand another person allows you to approach him with a spirit of gentleness that God commands in Galatians 6:1. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. The next time you are in a conflict, employ the peacemaker pause principle. The letter U is for understand the other party's interests. If you are confused about another person's motives, call 515-635-5465 to set up a free consultation or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org. Again, that number is 515-635-5465.
Hey, Des Moines! Have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's only indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. Go to crossroadsshooting.com, crossroadsshooting.com.
Well, we have to have a disclaimer here before we go into our next segment. This one... This one is not for those of you who are just about to eat lunch or breakfast,
and,
whatever
and
the case may
according
be.
To our time recording here, we are about ready to eat lunch. Thanks, Brian.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We are about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
Okay, this one is from thesmokinggun.com. How do you like that for a site?
That sounds like one we control often for stuff.
Okay, Dateline, August 12th. A South Carolina man arrested yesterday for shoplifting ribeye steaks from a food lion, smuggled meat out of the store in his colostomy bag, according to a police interview with the suspect's girlfriend. Cops were called Tuesday afternoon to the Food Lion after employees reported that an older white male stole $75 worth of ribeye steaks. The workers said that the man drove away from the Roebuck store in a green Nissan, the license plate for which they copied down. Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office deputies traced the car back to David Samuel Hoyt, 55, who they found at the residence of Angela Woody, who lives on Shaw Road, down from the Church of God.
Love that extra detail there.
I don't know why that's there. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah.
During questioning, Hoyt initially denied stealing the steaks, but later made a verbal confession to the theft, saying that he put the meat in bags and walked out of Food Lion. Woody, Hoyt's 47-year-old girlfriend, offered a police lieutenant further details about her beau's steak heist. Mrs. Woody confirmed that Mr. Hoyt had taken meat from the Food Lion by putting it in his colostomy bag, a deputy noted. Thankfully, additional details about that means of conveyance were not memorialized by investigators. Hoyt was arrested for shoplifting and booked into the county jail on the misdemeanor charge. He remains locked up on $2,130 bond. A police report does not reveal the whereabouts or ultimate disposition of the stolen steaks.
Yeah, I think if they were able to be recovered, the grocery store would say, "Thanks, we're good. We're good.
Keep them in your evidence room."
Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, in Mr. Hoyt's defense here, the meat is sealed.
You're only assuming it's sealed. Well, was he going to take them home and rinse them off?
I don't know. I don't know.
Picture this guy in the
meat department. No, I don't want to picture this. I don't want to picture this.
It's not a pretty sight.
Gosh, I mean, how would you? Yeah. It's like I've worked with people who've had those things. They're not exactly, they're not that big.
You get $75 worth of ribeye steaks in them, baby.
I mean, maybe it was overpriced steak, so maybe you just had, I don't know. But still, gosh.
Oh.
I don't know how he fit it in there, and how did he do it conspicuously? That's...
You mean inconspicuously?
Inconspicuously. Well, he obviously did it conspicuously. They noticed it right away. He was, you know, so probably wasn't too sneaky about it, obviously. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's only indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.